I'm Ruthie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care if we're a little bit late. And yes, indeed, it is Friday. It's Friday, February 23rd. When I announce the date, you know I'm live in the studio, unless I announce the wrong date, in which case I'm probably not live in the studio. But today, as far as I know, is the 23rd of February, 2024. Thanks for listening today. I was out of town the last few weeks, 4 weeks. As a matter of fact, I do believe I was in Kentucky for a month with family. And I'm back, and today's show will be a show, one of those shows that is from the, not the streets and paths of Northampton, but the beyond area. I got interviews with, of course, myself in Knoxville, Tennessee, and a livestock auctioneer from Ewing, Virginia, and some people in Middlesbrough, Kentucky that I was doing some, what do you call it? I was at an event, an annual event that the Kentucky Domestic Violence Association organizes called Shop and Share, usually every February. It's an event where people, I'll explain this more, but I interviewed a couple of guys I was leafleting with, flyering with, volunteering with. There are a couple of locals there, including Brandon, hardworking man between Harlan and Corbin, Kentucky. Factories or the coal mines, take your pick. And I may play a Palestinian speaker who spoke in December on the March for Palestine at the Holyoke lunch stop. There was a guy, a Palestinian man, that spoke very lovingly, compassionately, and touchingly. And also, there may be more. I have another clip. Oh, yeah, Fabian from the Catholic Worker in Knoxville, working on making a homemade, well, I don't know. Well, rigging up some sort of hot tub with a wood stove, an old bathtub, and some pipes he'd bent. Well, I guess we'll start with my rant. I'll get my rant out of the way. Friday, February 9th, 2024, Knoxville, Tennessee. I caught a ride with my sister-in-law, who I asked her to drop me off on the side of the interstate. Oh boy, extreme amount of black exhaust. I'm on my way to the Catholic Worker to pick up a bicycle that I had left there in October, the day Dwayne died. And I am looking at this road. It's 7 lanes. There's like restaurants and stores and strip malls on both sides. The only way to cross, there's a traffic light about 200 yards in one direction and 150 yards in the other direction. And there's not even crosswalks at those traffic lights. So I have seen a few pedestrians trying to make it across the 7 lanes of traffic. My sister-in-law was headed to Atlanta, which is like a 5 or 6 hour drive from where we're from, to go to the doctor because there's not enough medical skin care for people of African descent in eastern Kentucky. You gotta go to a place like Atlanta to have the density of black people to have the kind of healthcare, skin care that she needed. But I'm looking at this highway, Western Ave. And what really got me down is thinking about how in eastern Kentucky they're doing a big 4-lane construction project, Mountain Parkway, it's called. I just read in the paper last week that the environmental assessment had been done and they're open to public comment through the end of February. I think they're doing 14 miles of brand new 4-lane highway through the mountains. I watched a video of the construction
company, very proud about how many millions of tons of earth they've moved, and they show before and after pictures of the mountains, and then the mountains blown away, and the four-lane highway, and excavation equipment, and on-ramps and off-ramps, and how it's going to bring mobility and economic opportunity to Eastern Kentucky. I was trying to look at what is the opposition? Is anyone speaking out against this project? And I couldn't find anything online. Even the progressive organization that I'm most familiar with, Kentuckians for the Commonwealth, I couldn't find anything on their site except for one article from 2014 saying how it was needed. And it's not going to imminently, directly, suddenly affect me. It's not in my neighborhood. It is in my region. A region that has similar economic and cultural challenges and situations. But who am I to talk? You know, I go off to Yankee land and make my money hauling trash, and then I come back here and don't need to make any money because I live with my family who feeds me and owns land because my mama was a doctor and she bought 200 acres. Spent 30 years to pay for it, but now that's in my family. But with a highway construction project, it's like, I look at this here in Knoxville, and like, you know, this is the direction it all headed. This is the direction development goes in this part of the country. Just more asphalt, more pavement, more cars. It's like, we are building a four-lane highway to increase the speed, which people can come and go. But it's only for one specific kind of transportation. It's like human beings. You know, up until 100 years ago, we knew how to get around in so many different ways. We could walk, we could bike, we could ride a horse and carriage, we could go on the river. And now the only way, all this investment is just for the automobile. It's like all for the private automobile, essentially. There's no, this will not help people walk places. It will not help people bike places or ride horses places. It will not help people get places via train. There's no trolleys. Like back in the day, we knew about trolleys, right? Trains, trolleys, there's no train service, there's no public access to this transportation corridor they're planning. So, they talk about it bringing prosperity or economic opportunity, but what is it taking? What is it taking? What is all the life that it's taking? And they decided to route the highway through forested hills and mountains instead of along the old two-lane so that it wouldn't disrupt homes and businesses. So I guess there was some opposition there. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure there's a lot of opposition in the mountains they ran it through, but the animals and the trees and the water aren't coming to the meetings and talking English. And they sure aren't waving dollar bills. This goes to the old thing, how you always hear, oh, people need jobs, economic opportunity. No, people don't need jobs. People need clean air, clean water, food, shelter, meaningful things to do, and love. Jobs, that's a capitalist creation. I just don't understand why we keep moving in this direction of destroying the earth, paving things over, more and more cars, and people think this is like civilization. Like, we knew how to do so many things. We knew how to do so many things 100 years ago, like with refrigeration, with storage of food, preserving food, keeping warm with fire and clothing and down and leather and... Yeah, I know, the air was very polluted years ago in age of industrialization and coal and fossil fuels. Yeah, And then there was slavery, and then there was smallpox and ongoing genocides of Native Americans. There's always something to destroy, you know? There's always something to destroy, and as long as there's something to destroy, I guess we're going to be destroying it. But there's always something to love, too. There's always something to love. And I do like vaccines and antibiotics to a degree, within reason. I love things that have helped me cure UTIs and excessive menstrual bleeding and tick-borne disease. Does a rant like this have any purpose to being spoken or shared? In the old days, they called it prophesying. Today, they just call it pontificating on your high horse. If you ain't got something helpful to say, then why say it? I guess that pickup truck, assuming guy in the pickup truck that just went by with three flags that said God, guns, and Trump, I guess he thought that was helpful to say. I think my bus is about here. And I will say, Knoxville, Tennessee has a great bus system. I think one of the best bus systems you'll find for a city this size. And in this moment, I happen to be standing on a sidewalk, which seems to be somewhat rare with a lot of the streets that aren't right in close to the center of town. It's raining, hence all the fuzzy background noise. I don't know why I don't quit complaining and do something. You think I should go to, like, urban planning school? That would probably involve driving. We got a housemate inquiry from someone who lives in East Hampton, is going to urban planning school in Westfield with a partner in Greenfield. And I was kind of like, I don't really want a housemate who drives everywhere so much, even though the long-term vision is to create a place where I used to have a visceral negative reaction to big black trucks with their threatening posture and movements. I mean, that kind of goes for any automobile, but you know, the bigger the worse. And then I fell in love with someone who drives one. And now it's changed my stereotype and they don't threaten me anymore. I think of my friend. And I hold as a possibility that there could be some love inside. I don't know why people would choose a black car. They're so hot, as if cars aren't hot enough already. And they're hard to see, especially in the dark or in rainy, foggy conditions like now. So it's still Friday, the 9th of February, 2024, and it's still raining, but I did make it to the Catholic Worker. Sorry, listeners. Not sorry. This is your host, Ruthie. I'm going to take a break. I finished that, the rant part of that clip. You know, if I was going to title that rant, I could have said everything I was saying in just two words. Effing cars. Same old rant on out there. You're going to hear it again. Well, anyway, so I was talking about the Mountain Parkway that's being expanded in eastern Kentucky. I was just looking online about the environmental impact study or something like that. And I think it said that 22% of the land in the study where they're planning on building the highway, 22% of it is qualifies as prime farmland. I hadn't even mentioned that part, really. So I did write a letter to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet guy, and yep, you're going to have to hear it. If you're listening to out there, you're going to have to hear it. I'm going to read it. Here's what I wrote to Eric Skaggs, PE. I love PE class. Oh, maybe that's engineering. Jackson, Kentucky, February 13, 2024, to whom it may concern. I love my eastern Kentucky homeland. Though I'm not directly in the way, when I read about the four-lane highway coming, my heart shrieks. I feel we are being told we must destroy Appalachia to save it.
to live and thrive, we need clean air, water, food, shelter, love, community, a sense of purpose. Many in Appalachia and elsewhere are struggling. This high-speed corridor promises to bring mobility and commerce to the region. When I look at highways, I see the mountains and trees blown apart, the bears and turkeys with no home or fractured, inaccessible homelands, the waterways compromised, nonstop noise and air pollution, light pollution at night. Increasing the speed of a road makes a place into somewhere to pass through as quickly as possible, rather than somewhere to be. We destroy the homes of animals and plants that could feed and house us, so we can step into expensive, polluting metal boxes and drive to McDonald's to buy a hamburger from Argentina, or drive to Walmart to buy a plastic broom from China, or drive to a factory to make auto parts. And we call it progress. I work as a trash hauler, and every day I see the waste that human beings create, not because of need, but because of an economic system that controls our wants and needs and opportunities. Will this four-lane highway megaproject alleviate the deaths of despair in Appalachia? When it's complete, then what? More pavement, cities, dynamite, bulldozers, and people with money running off with Appalachia? I'm sorry, I don't have solutions, and it may be too late for this project, but I wanted to write because I haven't seen the elders or the youth of the future expressing concern about the deep negative impacts of this project. I hope that my concerns are considered for future projects. Sincerely, Ruthie Woodring, Bell County, Kentucky. P.S. They say if you don't like coal, don't use electricity. I agree with the sentiment and live a simple life, but still, the mountains are blown apart around me. Yeah, so I sent that off to the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. So I'm pretty sure they're going to quit making any more highways or expanding any more roads now. Thank you for listening. You are listening to Out There on Valley View Radio. I'm Ruthie. And next on Out There, where is my clips, my clips, my clips, my clips? I have an interviews with a couple locals. See what they, how these roads affect their lives. Oh, wait, but then I got to come back to the rest of that clip that I interrupted. That was at minute one. Okay. Next, yeah, I want to play this clip with Brandon.
It's February 10th, 2024. It's annual Shop and Share for Domestic Violence. I'm standing out here outside Food City with my co-flyer. Yeah. I don't know if you, what's your name?
Brandon.
And Brandon was talking about his work situation, which is, so like, where do you work?
CTA Acoustics,
Corbin. And before you moved to Pineville, where were you commuting from?
Harlan.
Harlan to Corbin?
Yeah.
How far is that?
80 miles.
80 miles?
Yep.
Every day?
Yep.
What is your work shift like?
7 to 7, makes for a long day.
Overnight?
Yeah.
7 p.m. to 7 a.m.? Wait, 12-hour shift?
Yep. 6 days a week.
6 days a week? And yeah. how long would your commute take you?
It's 3 hours a day, hour and a half each way.
80 miles. Yeah. Wow. That costs, too, gas, car, and all that?
Yeah. Time you drive and work, that's about it.
Uh-huh. What's CTA?
They make acoustics for your car, thermal acoustics. It's fiberglass products.
And thermal acoustics, what does it look like? What's that like?
The thermal is the heat. Like, it's folds over the, you know, like the fiberglass. It keeps, like, the heat from the motor to the firewall and from coming inside your car. So, they make a lot of different parts.
And where does it go inside the car?
Pretty much outlines your old car, your firewall, your dash, your doors, your hood, your trunk, your over your spare tire. Just a lot of different places.
What's your role in the manufacture of this?
I run the molds, the parts.
Do you know where the stuff, like where it goes after it leaves that factory?
Most of ours go to Flint, Michigan, to the Ford plant. The largest one. It's the largest one in the United States.
Wow.
Ford is 70% of their business.
Wow.
It's $500 million a year business. So it's, you know, money.
Money.
I worked in coal mines 20 years.
You were in coal mines?
I worked in coal mines 20 years, and I got this mess here, and I had to do a little bit of something different. had to have a night shift job, you know, that way I could do my stuff during the day. So. It's a big change for me to go from 5 miles underground to working with 700 people is a little bit different.
When you were underground, just like by yourself? How many people were around?
They're probably 10 of us, you know, or something. It's nothing like working in a factory.
Do you have like a preference? What are some of the pros and
cons? I'd rather work in the coal mines any day. Coal mines, it's cool in the summer, warm in the winter. You know, other than that, I mean, it's dangerous. Don't get me wrong, but it's dangerous driving to work too, you know. So, you know, it's just what all you want to do, I guess. Don't have to itch with the fiberglass.
How's the air quality, like breathing, compare in each place?
I guess they'll be about the same. I mean, you can see the coal dust floating in there, or you can see the fiberglass floating in there. So it's just, you know, that matters. You know.
You wear a mask?
I don't, but you can. I mean, it don't seem to bother me. So.
Do you ever worry about it, like building up like long term lung damage?
Well, I mean, they say it can. I mean, you know, coal dust, they give you black lung. But now I've done it 20 years, and it's not really affected me yet. So. As far as the fiberglass, I can't really, you know, tell any difference other than the itching, which I'm sure you breathe some of it, you know, because I mean, you can see it floating in the air, so, you know, I'm sure you breathe some of it, but it don't affect me, so.
Yeah. How old are you?
43. Hmm. Yeah, I was married for 21 years and got a divorce and got 4 girls and 5 grandbabies.
Thanks for sharing.
No problem.
Hello. It's Shop and Share today to support survivors of domestic violence. So we're trying to get supplies for the local shelter. If there's anything on this shopping list that you're able to add to yours today, we'd really appreciate it. You could drop it off on the table on your way out.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brandon, for sharing that. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. My dad does domestic violence, interpersonal violence, relationship, family counseling in southeastern Kentucky, like court-ordered cases. And so he is one of the coordinators, the regional coordinators of that annual Shop and Share event. So I was there in Kentucky with him, so supporting him and the other people there, other volunteers there. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. It is time. It's time for a song. This is Lainey Wilson.
I'm taking care of either way, make something out of how I'm made, and his nails.
Lainey Wilson, you listened to Out There on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ LP 103.3 FM in Northampton and streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. I'm Ruthie, your host, and next on Out There, we got another Kentucky clip from the same Food City Shop and Share flyering.
Okay, what's your name?
Ben Hickman.
So Ben, you were telling me about your daughter. What's her name?
Megan.
Megan.
Megan Hickman.
So Megan, yes. this business, what's the name of it?
Dimar Scientific.
Where is it?
Lexington, Kentucky.
And did she start it, or how did she get involved with it?
She's involved with it. She started there as a receptionist, but she was going to college as a chemist, and they seen that her talent as a receptionist, and she started growing up, and they started putting these chemicals together, and her and this other one come up with a mixture that makes the plants that they grow into biogradable plastic. Uh-huh. They make the pellets that they sell to commercial people to make the items they have, Mars bars and Lay's potato chips. Uh-huh. And she's getting ready to sign a contract with Pepsi.
So they make like biodegradable pellets.
Yes.
Like sort of plastic, but made out of hemp or made out of what?
Well it's hemp and another plant that they make. They grow two plants.
You know what the other one is? Is that top secret?
I sure don't. No, it ain't top secret. It's on their website.
Oh, okay.
Dimar Scientific website.
Okay. And they make these pellets and just sell them to people trying to manufacture
biodegradable
plastic.
Yeah, they sell it in bags. And then any manufacturer that makes something can buy these. That makes them a green company automatically, which is the big thing, you know.
Yeah.
So they make straws that are biodegradable. Uh-huh. It shows a film on the website where they disappear, you know, in the water. And all the plastic bags. Uh-huh. Make these plastic water bottles, which ones just showed up the North Pole, which shows that the cycle now of the plastics is going to be biodegradable, which they've had to collect them over the years, which is nothing but trash.
Yeah.
So now it's getting worse. And they also get with the crayon company. Uh-huh. They're making crayons that's biodegradable by using their chemicals and stuff.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, in the ocean, they are collecting these plastics, which has been known that people ingest a lot of plastics they don't even see, like a credit card's worth per year. And now she's got a boat, the company does, that goes out in the ocean, fans out and collects all the plastics that's come up from the ocean, and actually runs off the plastics that they collect automatically. Well, the boats come in and collects the plastic, and then takes it back in for recycling.
Uh-huh.
Which also, they got a robot that goes sifts through the sand on beaches and gets microplastics that human eyes can't even see, which makes it, they can recycle and get it from causing pollution to the world.
Uh-huh.
It's to make the world green.
Uh-huh.
You don't find many companies doing that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep pace with the ones that are making the world brown, black, dirty, whatever.
Yeah, it is.
Contaminated.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
Sorry. he was talking about Dimar Scientific. I looked it up online. You can look it up for yourself. I appreciate his sharing. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. Next, I went to the livestock auction in Ewing, Virginia at the beginning of February.
February 3rd, Saturday, February 3rd, 2024. I'm in Ewing, Virginia at the livestock auction.
Davis, thank you, sir. Right here, you got a pretty good little boy in it.
And here you bought them both, right? And we're going to get our name. And we're going to get our 250. And we're going to get our 200. And we're going to get our 175. Get 100, 150, let's go. 100, 150, 100, 150, 100, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, 160, I'd be a big old nanny right there. Hit on her, little take on nanny. Right here, did you get a good on her? Down. Hit here, bring it on down. Right here, 25.
So Chris got two bottle calves that he bid on and got for about, I don't know, $200 a piece, something like that. And now we're loading them in the back of the minivan to take an hour's drive home.
So the Ewing, Virginia Livestock Auction in Southwest Virginia, all kinds of local farmers, growers, like livestock growers of all sizes come. If you just got one cow you're trying to sell, you can bring it to the auction and they'll run it through. They got cows, calves, goats, sheep, pigs, piglets, that's all I can think of. It was a scene. Oof. Life, I'm telling you. I'll play another song, even though that itself was kind of like a song. Here's a song I heard on the local radio station that I really liked.
There's a disc jockey in Hartlandburg who works at WANT. He puts two or three eggs in him, then he's in your car by 6 a.m. He lives for his job and he accepts his pay. You can call and request lay, 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 lay. He'll play Stanley Jordan, the Dead and Little Feet, and he'll even play the band from the college down the street. And his name is Rex Bob Lowenstein. He's 47 going on 16. His request line's open, but he'll tell you where to go if you're dumb enough to ask him why he plays Hank Snow. Well, he tries to keep his talking to a minimum. He's a Democrat, he's a Republican. He's an ad man with a great voice, say some. But when he spins those records, he's neither one. He'll talk to the truckers on the interstate strip, the housewife and the car dealership. When his second wife left him for a paper millionaire, he cried unashamedly right on the air. And his name is Rex Bob Lowenstein. He's 47 going on 16. His request line's open, but he makes no bones about why he plays Madonna after George Jones. Took the owner of the station to a restaurant booth. His pitch was simple, you'll increase your sales if you only play the song list we send in the mail. He guaranteed a larger audience, less confusion. confusion and higher points. But your drive time jock won't get to do his thing. Hey, he's not half bad. Tell me, what's his name? Well, his name is Rex Bob Lowenstein. He's frequently heard, but he's seldom seen. His formula's simple and his format's big. I just play it, then you call and tell me what you dig. Now Rex Bob David saw Lowenstein quit his job a week later, but before he'd leave, he locked and bolted the control room door and played smash or trash till they cut him on the floor. Well, they drug him into court and the judge said, Rex, I gotta lock you up for what I'm not sure yet. But your boss here says he thinks you're wrapped too tight. But by the way, thanks for playing Moon River last night. And his name is Rex Bob Lowenstein. He's a framing bell inside a tambourine. And he could play it all if he was just set free. Just to find what the people W-A-N-T. Just to find what the people W-A-N-T. Just to find what the people W-A-N-T. Just to find what the people W-A-N-T.
And that was Mark Geronimo. Thanks for listening to Out There Today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. Next, I have a clip from the December 16th March for Palestine from Northampton to Springfield that a bunch of us did. And at the Holyoke lunch break that we took, there were some speakers. And here are a couple of speakers. I did not get the beginning or the introduction of the man, the Palestinian man, that's speaking for the most of the first part. And I believe the second speaker is Dory Midnight from Northampton.
When we apply... We fight a system. It is everywhere now. We need more love, more cooperation, and communication. And Earth, Mother Earth crying. What happened in Gaza, it's never happened. Same in the whole history. More than 8,000 kids murdered there. Those kids, they are not just the numbers. Those kids, they have a dream. Those kids, they were looking for someone to give them hand, to give them hope, to live, not to die. We are here together to work to create a new world for all, a new world with love, with peace, with compassion. We need more compassion for each other. It is not us, the majority of the people in the whole world. It is money looking for more money. In the name of identity, in the name of religion, they send our beloved people to war with other people, to kill other people far away. The war in Ukraine is money. The war in Gaza is money and for control. We are a Palestinian and Gaza people, they will live forever. They are not gonna die.
Free Palestine!
We are strong enough to fight this system. Me as a Palestinian, I live what you feel, what you see in the media now. I live same thing, same situation. I've been shot by the Israeli army 3 times. I'm lucky I'm still alive. I've been in the Israeli jail for 7 years for nothing. If you are a Palestinian in the first intifada, if you carry this flag, you go to the jail for a year just to carry a Palestinian flag. We are, as a Palestinian and as Israeli too, we don't have a problem with each other. We need a new education, not just for Palestinian and Israeli, for everyone on earth, to learn how to live together, how to cooperate with each other, not to try to control each other. Even this system not trying just to control people, they try to control even Mother Earth, not to live with Mother Earth. We try to control everything. It is not us. It is not us. We're gonna keep this resistance continue for Gaza and for everyone live in not without justice, live without lots of, why we are not using the money for hunger people? Why we are not using the money for homeless people? Why we are not using the money what we spend for women's and for killing other people, for healthcare, for agriculture, for researchers? That's what we're looking for. We're looking for world. We're thinking as one. We are not gonna survive in Mother Earth if we are not thinking as one. And we are one. Thank you so much. Appreciate each one of you.
Moses' sister Miriam, who's basically like talked about as his backup singer with a flowy skirt. It's always the backup singer, right? So I want to invoke Miriam today on this march because she is for me a source of sustenance in the work for collective liberation. Miriam is named in our text as a prophetess. She's the only one in the Tanakh who's named as a prophet who uses she, her pronouns, which if she had had the choice, maybe wouldn't have chosen. And she is our deviant, sick and disabled, spinster, radical, joy-filled, water-bringing, anti-imperialist movement ancestor. What does it mean to be a prophet? It means, and it meant to her, having prophetic imagination, which means like specifically her prophetic witness to and resistance to tyranny, empire, and patriarchy. Miriam's born into enslavement. She's born under empire. And yet she has a vision, carries a vision of freedom, of something beyond. She hatches a plan and she puts the plan into action. So a prophet can be someone who's able to sense and dream and believe that another world is possible outside of empire. Miriam's name itself can be translated as bitter waters, because Miriam is pissed. She is, as we say, sick and tired of being sick and tired. She is bitter, because that is an integral part to resisting. Miriam, unlike Moses, organizes horizontally, or rather, she organizes in circles. She's a drum carrier, she plays the tambourine, she dances in circles. She organizes with her people. She also brings joy. And finally, she doesn't leave anyone behind. You know, she's sick, she speaks up against her brother, and the words that she says, the last words we hear her say in the text is, aren't we all prophets? When Moses is trying to claim just, there's only one, right? And she says, well, the, you know, how I would paraphrase it is like, we left empire so that we could emulate it, right? So she tends to transitions, and she always appears in the text, she always appears with water, by a river, by the sea, and finally with her well. And that well follows her wherever she goes. She can just bring up this well. She has a magic well that's encircled by healing herbs. And her well is known as Mayim Chayim, the living waters. It's also known as the wellspring of liberation.
I believe that was Dori Midnight at a talk given, speech given in Holyoke in the middle of the March for Palestine from Northampton to Springfield on December 16th, 2023. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie, and this is For King and Country. What are we waiting for?
Can't breathe, can't dance if we don't move our feet. It's a blur trying to keep pace. Days are running like they're in a race. Can't move if we're in our own way. I guess the crisis is we've just one life to live, and no one knows what happens next. So what do we?
For King and Country. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm Ruthie. Next on Out There, I should say, Democracy Now! Comes up at 5 o'clock. Next, I guess I'll play this interview with Fabian at the Catholic Worker in Knoxville.
But I didn't make it to the Catholic Worker. I ran into Fabian. Fabian, what are you doing?
I'm screwing a nozzle to another copper piece. And it's for a hot bath. In the outside, in the rain.
So it's the copper you bent, copper tubing, and stuck it inside the old wood stove from inside the house?
Yes, exactly.
How did you get the copper tubing bent into a coil without it kinking?
So I filled the tube with water, and I kinked it on the ends. So that the water, intentionally, that the water is trapped in the coil, or it wasn't the coil, in the pipe. And after this, you can bend this pipe with less danger of kinking, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it worked quite okay.
You had like a little bit of a mold kind of guy?
There was a mold. I was bending it around, built out of like two old buckets. Uh-huh. Buckets are great tools. Uh-huh. And yeah,
so the coil is inside the wood box of
exactly.
The stove.
Yeah,
and then it's a little bit lower than the bathtub. Can you describe that, how that works a little bit?
Yeah, so there's this physics thing called thermosiphon, and it relies on that water that is hot expands and raises. And so you have a reservoir of water, what's your hot tub or whatever, and you have a coil of copper. And as long as your copper coil that's getting heated in fire or whatever sits lower as your reservoir, the water is circulating on its own because the reservoir pressure puts cold water into the coil. That's getting heated and get pushed up into your reservoir.
It's circulating, like it's a closed system.
Yes, that's the idea.
Well, yeah.
It's not working all the time, so we will see.
I guess it's not really a closed system because the reservoir is open to the human and the air.
Yeah, and it's raining right now into it, so we have to pour less water into the bathtub. Yeah, but that's basically how it works.
How did you get the idea, inspiration, motivation to do this?
So Lisa, I'm living here with, has, as I learned, a desire for a hot tub for years. And I'm staying here on this property with them, and I said, I want to do something that I can stay here in your camper. Mm-hmm. And this was our deal. Mm-hmm. So I'm making a bathtub for a living.
Have you made them before?
I've met them 2 years ago. I was traveling with friends from Europe through the US, and we ended up in Knoxville. And we ended up here, what was very nice, that I get to know them.
Have you made hot tubs before?
Yes, I've made a couple of hot tubs before. Onsens. So onsen is the word for the Japanese hot tub. And I've built like a very big one and another small one like this.
Cool. Are you going to get to try it before you go back home?
That's the goal. That's why I'm out in the rain. Normally I would do it with nicer weather. But I'm leaving in 2 days for home, so I'm a little bit in a hurry to go in and to clean myself before I go home to Mama.
Well, good. I hope it works out.
Yeah, I think so. I think it works out. We have a little bit of water seal problems, but that's normal, and that should be fixable.
What do you really like about hot tubs?
What do you like about hot tubs? Like, I really like this very simple hot tub. There are lots of people with hot tubs that are crazy engineered today, but I think a simple hot tub is a beautiful thing. And like, you are not so lucky always that you live beside a hot spring. Mm-hmm. That is out in the nature and like in the beautiful place, especially where I come from in Europe, it's not around. And so you have to build your own. And mm-hmm. That's a nice thing. I think bathing outside in the night, looking at the stars, drinking a beer or whatever, is a nice thing. And to be clean is generally a nice thing, I think.
All right, thanks.
And that was Fabian visiting the Riverside Catholic Worker in Knoxville from Germany. You're listening to Out There. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. If you want to hear archived editions of Out There, you can hear them at weatherbeard.com/out there. And there, I don't know if there's going to be a bike lab tomorrow. Maybe, maybe not. Suspense builds. This is Old Crow Medicine Show.
If you got the soul, let it roll. If you got the time, let it shine. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee. Sprung from the dirt like a Fraser fir with a fiddle in his hand, old Jubilee was born to sing the song of a common man. He thumbed away from a tender age while Mama stood and cried, take up the yoke for the working folks and don't keep the fire inside. From the coal fields to the textile mills, digging for the pocket change, Jubal Jones found a home singing on a sidewalk stage.
If you got the soul, let it roll. If you got the time, let it shine. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee. Well, I hopped the rail from the Georgia Mail to the highball Chessie line. All the folks leaned in to hear him sing down every rolling mile. But as luck ran out in Danville Town, when the sheriff topped his dams, they rung his bell, said, "You're going to hear some singing for the working man." From the Union Hall to the prison walls, digging for a poor man's wage, Jubal Jones found a home, playing on the gallows stage. If you got my soul, let it roll. If you got the time, let it shine. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee. Oh, just like Jubilee. If you got the soul, let it roll. If you got the time, let it shine. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee. If you got the soul, let it roll. If you got the time, let it shine. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee. If you got the dream, set it free, just like Jubilee.